Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Warmer from below, welcome to Lumpy Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. A podcast is presented today by DraftKings and vote yes on Prop 27. Prop 27, that is going to be up on the California ballot within the next few days, and it's working to get Californians to be able to bet online, much like over half the country is already able to. It's not fair that over half the country is able to bet online, and Californians, well, they're currently stuck with the shady bookie, so vote yes on Prop 27 and vote yes on a great podcast. We're going to have to do this while game number 5 is still raging on a little bit. I'll have a bit more on the Greg Peterson Experience tonight on VSiN. 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific to midnight Pacific Eastern Time, midnight Eastern to 3 a.m. So we'll be able to give you guys a little bit more clarity there. But that said, here in the first segment, going to be talking to Steve Gardner. He does great work over at USA Today. We're going to be taking a look at some of the aspects to keep in mind as the series moves back to Houston. And what are some of the strengths and weaknesses of both of those teams, and what to expect in general, especially if we get a Game 7, as it seems as though we're going to be getting Framber Valdez and Zach Wheeler in Game number 6. And then in segment number 2, just going to give you guys my initial look at Game 6 of the World Series, my handicap. I'm doing this as numbers for Game 6 have yet to go up, so the DK Nation pick, that will be disclosed on the podcast tomorrow, and if needed, I will be back for Game 7, and then we go into a little bit more of off-season mode. I'll try to do a few off-season podcasts. Not sure how many I'm going to be able to do just because college basketball takes up a lot of time during the winter, but that said, I will do my best there, and any questions, comments, segment ideas, what I have for this podcast can be fired in one of two ways. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JudanRN41. Keep in mind, letter CM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline, and the other way, that's fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter questions today, but let's dive into what we all got in game number 5 of the World Series as I record this, as things are starting to wrap up.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
As I record, it is 2-1 going into the bottom of the 6th inning, as both of these teams have done a relatively solid job of passing up scoring opportunities, as the Astros, they have went 1-4 with men in scoring position, and for the Philadelphia Phillies, against Justin Verlander, 0-7 with men in scoring position. They didn't get a bad start out of Noah Thor Syndergaard for the Phillies. They got three innings, he gave up two runs, and one of the runs they gave up was a solo home run in the top of the fourth, which I would argue that he should not have been out there for that. Jeremy Pena was able to crank out the deep bomb for Justin Verlander. Gives up just one run. I would argue that he did not look very sharp in his five innings, though. He walked four. Hector Neris is going to be relieving him from there. He gave up a leadoff home run to Kyle Schwarber. From there, the Phillies were able to get men on base, but they weren't able to capitalize, and credit where credit is due for the Phillies, as they've been able to get two scoreless innings out of Connor Brogdon, five punch-outs along the way, and the Phillies, they got 10 strikeouts in the first six innings against an Astros team that they strike out about 7.5 times per contest. Jose Alvarado got into a little bit of danger in the sixth inning, but he was able to wiggle his way out of it. And on the Greg Peterson Experience, I'll be able to have a little bit more for you, but with the way that the timing works, not able to give you a full recap, but what I am able to give you is what we're going to be seeing in Houston as Steve Gardner, he does amazing work over there at USA Today. He's joining me right now on the podcast. I know that he does a lot in terms of the fantasy side of things. Does a great job taking a look at just the game of baseball as a whole, and I'm sure that he is going to be very closely monitoring what we're going to be getting this offseason, as well as we've got at the maximum two games left of the MLB season, so things are winding down, and Steve, done a great job all season long. You're able to follow him on Twitter at Steve A. Gardner altogether, so first and last name with the letter A in the middle, and Steve, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Always a pleasure to chat with you, and got an exciting World Series here to break down a little bit.
Yep, we head back to Houston for the weekend for what is going to be at the most the final two games of the World Series, and I did think that I was a little bit curious what the Phillies did in Game 5. We're doing this as Game 5 is going on, so we don't know the final yet, but Zach Wheeler does not come out and start Game 5. Instead, they're going to have him start Game 6, even though he would have been on full rest. Why do you think this was? Because my understanding of this was that they knew that there was going to be just one Zach Wheeler start left, and they wanted to give him a little bit of extra rest because he didn't necessarily look like himself in Game 2. But I did think that it was a curious move because we've always seen the numbers as to how teams do when they're up 3-2 versus down 3-2 and putting out their North or Syndergaard, once again, not knowing how it goes. But little bit of a roll of the dice.
It is, but then again, it's a long season, and these guys have been in it. The innings in the postseason especially are high stress, high leverage innings, even from the beginning of the game. And Wheeler, his velocity was down in Game 2 to the point where, you know, you were wondering if maybe that arm fatigue, that dead arm period or whatever, might be something that he was dealing with. They only let him throw 69 pitches in five innings, and he gave up five runs, four of them earned, and a home run to Alex Bregman. So he was not the Zach Wheeler that we saw earlier in the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination. Because you've got that extra day of rest to give him, I think Rob Thompson was probably justified. We don't know, obviously, how that's going to turn out. But I think from a strategy standpoint, it was probably the best move because you want the best version of Zach Wheeler that you can get.
Yep, absolutely. I do think that it is such a curious move because on one end, you could certainly make the case for Zach Wheeler. On the other end, you knew that Wheeler only had one start left in him. You might as well try to get the most of it as well. So very curious spot there. And I do think that it is going to be curious to see what the Phillies were to do if they do get into a Game 7 as well, because we have seen Aaron Nola look a little bit, shall we say, not like himself here in the postseason. The game that we saw in Game 4, he gets completely lit up in the fifth inning. And I think that that's the biggest question I do have for the Phillies, because we know that Zach Wheeler is going to be going in Game 6. We don't know whether or not we're going to be getting to Game 7. And as we know, it's the last game of the year. You can't hold anything back. But as of right now, what do you think the Phillies were to do if they do get to a Game 7? Because I think that's the biggest question that I've got right now, because with Aaron Nola looking less than terrific, that puts them in a little bit of a tricky spot.
It does, and I think Ranger Suarez has done a good job in any number of roles for the Phillies in the postseason, you know, coming in relief, getting a save, getting a start and a win. I think they could be confident with Ranger Suarez as their starter, and maybe, if need be, Aaron Nola come in relief, although I think there's probably a very slim chance of that. You know, the interesting thing, Greg, is that this particular series, the World Series, it's been like the opposite of what we would have expected coming in, because Nola and Wheeler, so far combined, have an 8.10 ERA in the World Series, and the bullpen was just phenomenal. I mean, the first runs that they gave up in the World Series when Alvarado came in Game 4, and hit Yordan Alvarez with the bases loaded. I mean, those first runs, the bullpen has been great. It's kind of flipped the script a little bit to where I could see, you know, it's an all hands on deck, as you would think, in a seventh game of a World Series, to where they'd actually have maybe a little bit more confidence in those guys in the bullpen that have most recently been able to put up zeros a lot better than their aces, Nola and Wheeler, have.
And I think that that is so interesting that you bring that up, as Steve Gardner of USA Today is joining me on the podcast, because the biggest weakness, in my opinion, for the Philadelphia Phillies going into the postseason was that bullpen, because we had seen Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler be solid all season long, but that bullpen, they had the worst ERA in the National League after the All-Star break. They have been significantly better in the postseason. I personally think that Sir Anthony Dominguez coming off the injured list is the biggest reason for this, and the way that they've been able to utilize him, much like the Brewers did with Josh Hader a few postseasons ago, looking to him to get more than three outs, utilizing him in more than just the ninth inning, which is a novel concept for some people. I'm looking at you, the San Diego Padres, and I think that it's worked out very well for them. But what do you really attribute it to? Because the Phillies have really been night and day in terms of that bullpen here in the postseason.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think part of it could be just random variants that we have seen in the postseason. You only have to go back to last year when the Atlanta Braves bullpen was as big of a question mark as the Phillies bullpen was coming into this postseason. And yet every single pitcher, it seemed like, that they threw out there in the later innings was able to put up zeros. It took them all the way to a World Series title. That's how these postseasons go sometimes. And you get unexpected results. You get players stepping up when we had no idea that they would be able to do that. And you have, you know, star players kind of falter sometimes too, you know. So that's one of the things. You get Sir Anthony Dominguez back, though, to your point. You get him back and he's as good as he's been. It helps everybody else because you don't have to rely on them as much when you have Dominguez there. It makes the bullpen deeper, and so you may not have to pitch as many innings or as many high leverage innings or high stress pitches. That's, you know, everybody shouldering the load. And I think that's where you get successful teams. That's the formula that wins in the postseason.
No question about it. I think that that is a very good aspect to take a look at, as Steve Gardner of USA Today is joining me right here on the podcast. And for the Astros, very clear who's going to be going game six, Framber Valdez, who he looked absolutely magnificent in game two. Now, I know that there were people that were trying to hint that there might have been some substances that were used. If you take a look at the advanced analytics, his spin rate was not really too far from what it had been from the regular season. I mean, if there really was something there, it didn't cause too much whatsoever. I don't put much stock into it. Guy has been solid all season long. But just like I'm talking about the Phillies being in a sticky spot in terms of Game 7 if they get there, I feel like the Astros are in the same spot, because Lance McCullers Jr. gives up 5 home runs in the game that we saw in Game 3, and he would line up to be the Game 7 starter. We're hearing all about, was he tipping pitches, was he not? When you allow 4 home runs during the regular season, you give up 5 of one game. There clearly is something there, and I think that that's curious for the Astros, because with the Astros, you mentioned the Phillies bullpen, they enter into Game 5 with a sub-0 80 bullpen ERA. These guys have been terrific, and I could see them going with that wholesale approach, perhaps go back to Lance McCullers Jr., but at the even slightest hints of, shall we say, weakness, they go completely away from him.
Absolutely. You know, Dusty Baker has so many different options in that bullpen. He could go to Luis Garcia, who had a fine season himself. One of the things that you look at why McCullers struggled is the Phillies hit breaking balls a lot better than they hit the fastballs that Christian Javier threw in his no-hitter. I mean, he is a majority fastball four-seamer pitcher. The Phillies had a lot more trouble with that than they did with McCullers. It wouldn't surprise me if McCullers starts a Game 7, he is on that quick hook and maybe faces just a few batters, or maybe, you know, you put somebody else that can get left-handers out a little bit better to get at the top of the order, you know, Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper. Maybe you have a Luis Garcia start, or maybe you have kind of a Ryan Stanek opener. He's been in that role before. There could be any number of things that the Astros could do, especially with that super deep bullpen. I think more so than even the Phillies, it'll be anybody and everybody to get however many outs they need if the Astros have to go to Game 7, because McCullers just did not have it, obviously. The Phillies had him timed. The location was bad. And I think one of the things that you talk about, the tipping of pitches, an indication that maybe it wasn't the tipping of pitches, but just the location that was his undoing, they hit several different types of pitches for home runs. I mean, you know, Harper hit a knuckle curve, then Bohm hit a different pitch. I think it was a sinker or something like that. They just had his number. I know that, you know, that will mess with his confidence perhaps. And Dusty Baker knows that having had that experience earlier on in the series, McCullers may not have it in game seven, and he'll know this time to not leave him in so long.
Yeah, that was clearly a ordeal where I feel like if the game hadn't gotten so far away from the Astros, they'd probably pull him a little bit earlier, but that was not great to say the least for them. And we've seen everyone else for the Houston Astros, really, other than just Verlander, who we don't know how game five went, but other than just Verlander, everyone else has been a rock solid for the Astros. So that's going to be fascinating for them. And then I think the other question that I do have with the Houston Astros is, what are they going to be able to get out of the top of the lineup? Because the one thing that I've noticed with this series is that it's been the exact opposite with these lineups. For the bottom of the fold, guys like Alec Bohm, Brandon Marche were able to go deep off of Lance McCullers Jr., but all postseason long, they have not gotten it done. Meanwhile, for the Astros, it's really been the bottom of the fold. Guys like Chaz McCormick, Yoli Gurriel getting on base. Meanwhile, Jose Altuve, he's been better since his 0-25 start, but it's not been a good postseason for him. Silently, Yordan Alvarez has really struggled as well, and I think that that is really going to be a big decider in Houston as well. Which out of the top of the lineup for the Astros or the bottom of the fold for the Phillies can get online, because both have been letting them down. Meanwhile, for the Astros, bottom of the fold has been terrific. For the Phillies, the guys at the top, they have been really mashing.
And the Alvarez thing is perhaps the biggest surprise to me in this World Series. After the great job that he did earlier in the playoffs and the clutch hits, to go suddenly completely cold, that's a surprise. It sets up another interesting thing too, if we should go to a game seven with Ranger Suarez on the mat. This is an interesting part for Houston and for Philadelphia, that matchup. If he can neutralize Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker, that's where this game, you know, if we go to a game seven, I think will be won and lost, is what happens with that middle of the lineup for Houston, Alvarez, Bregman, Tucker. How successful are they, and can they take the team and basically, you know, maybe win it themselves?
Yep, it is going to be such a great final two games of the World Series. If we do get them, we know that we're going to be getting at least one. And Steve, for however long we have postseason baseball, I know that you're going to do a great job of covering that. But on top of that, I know that you're already looking forward a little bit to 2023, because it is going to be a very heated offseason in terms of the MLB hot stove. I know that winter meetings are coming up, and that means that we're going to have some roster shakeups. We've already seen a couple managerial moves this offseason as well. So love to get people at home, know what's all on tap for you, and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Most certainly. I'll be very active throughout the Hot Stove League and free agent signing period. You can follow all my work at usatoday.com, baseball.usatoday.com, and also on Twitter. I'm at Steve A. Gardner. In the pages, if you're into print, you can look for me in USA Today Sports Weekly.
Sometimes there's nothing quite like being able to get an actual printed copy in your hands. I don't do it every day, but I like to do it at least once a week, be able to just get that nostalgic feel. I always think that that is something that provides a little bit of value, and a man that provides tremendous value, that'd be Steve. He does an amazing job taking a look at the great game of baseball. A big thanks to him for joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Coming up next, I'm going to give you guys my overview of Game 6 for the World Series as we touch them all.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice,
Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're
saying
right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop. B.
be.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their NBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. Big thanks to Steve Gardner of USA Today for joining me in the last segment. Does an incredible job taking a look at the great game of baseball. And for those of you guys that are interested in fantasy baseball, he is a must-follow at Steve A. Gardner on Twitter. One of the best at being able to take a look at these individual players, taking a look at good spots for them, guys that have upside, and always enjoy him joining this podcast. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you a little bit of a preview as to Game 6 of the World Series. I think that that's the most fair way of putting it because I am doing this as the Game 6 lines have yet to be dropped, but got an inkling as to where things are going, so I'm going to give you guys my initial thoughts on Game 6 of the World Series as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at @unit_81, and, well, very easy to keep things in rotation order when you've only got one game that you need to break down, so let's get into this game as it is going to be 961-962 on the board. The Phillies on the road against the Houston Astros. Framber Valdez is going to be going for the Astros, and it is going to be Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler who's going to be on the bump for the Phillies. I'm doing this once again as game 5 is just wrapping up, so we don't have set numbers here, but I'm making the Astros a -136 favorite. Now, I would need north of a +170 price to even consider the run line. I do think that this is going to be very much a nip and tuck game, and semi-total is 6.6. That means a 6.5 or less, I will be looking at an over, a 7 or higher to the under, very similar to the total that I handicapped when these two guys went at it at game 2. I do expect Wheeler to be able to give a little bit of a better performance, but I do think that we're going to see a little bit of regression with that Phillies bullpen. Meanwhile, Framber Valdez has just been absolutely remarkable. In at 26 out of his last 31 starts, he has went at least 6-plus innings, giving up 3 runs or fewer. Now, I know that there were a few question marks as to was he using a little bit of a foreign substance in game 2. It really didn't affect his spin rate or anything like that, so I do think that that was maybe trying to make a little bit of something out of that, but I do think that the Astros set themselves up with a good shot to be able to either close this thing out or get a game 7, as like I said, I'm doing this as game 5 is raging on. But that said, with the Houston Astros, just such an incredible bullpen. They entered into game 5 of the World Series with a sub-0.80 bullpen ERA, and the guy in the bullpen that currently has the highest ERA for the team Hector Neris at a 208. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. You're going to have Rafael Montero, Brian Abreu, Ryan Presley, all these guys available in that bullpen. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, Sir Anthony Dominguez, he has been the Swiss Army knife guy for this team. So if you do see Wheeler get into a little bit of trouble early, that'll be able to help them out. And for Wheeler, I do think that the extra rest, it is going to be able to help him out. He clearly was not himself in game number two, as we were talking about with Stevie. He gave up 5 runs, 4 of which were earned. He had given up a grand total of 5 runs in his first 4 starts of the postseason. I do think that we're going to see the Wheeler that we were seeing a little bit earlier in the postseason. He had 3 walks in his first 4 starts. He had 3 walks in that start against Houston. Now, you do want to know that Zach Wheeler hasn't necessarily been the same pitcher on the road rather than at home. On the road this season, his ERA is darn near 2 points higher than it is at home, so have a little bit of caution there, but he always does a good job of keeping the ball in the yard. About 0.7 home runs per 9 innings surrendered overall for the season, and for the Houston Astros, just a case where the guys at the top have been struggling a little bit. Jose Altuve, he did get a hit in game number 5, but overall he's hanging below the Mendoza line of 200 here in the postseason. Yordan Alvarez, we talked about it with Steve. I mean, since the Mariners series, he does not have a home run, and he's been hitting well below 200. Kyle Tucker had those 2 home runs in game 1, but past that he hasn't done a lot. It's really been guys like Yoli Gurriel, Chaz McCormick, who have been able to do a solid job of moving the line. Martin Maldonado, not laying the world on fire, but he's been a little bit better here in the postseason than the regular season. And then for the Phillies, top of the fold has been able to do a nice job. Kyle Schwarber goes deep in game 5. You've got Bryce Harper sitting well above a 350, 6 home runs. Now with Rhys Hoskins, he does have 6 home runs here in the postseason, but he's also hit all but one of those at home and on the road. He's sitting below the Mendoza line of 200 here in the playoffs. So do take a little bit of caution there. Very much a hit or miss guy, but I really think that the big key for the Phillies is those bottom guys. Brandon Marsh, Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott being able to move the line. And I do think that for the Phillies, it is going to be all hands on deck for them. The final 2 games, obviously, is going to be for the Astros as well. But I do think that for the Astros, they can feel a little bit better knowing that Framber Valdez has been able to work his way out of a lot of situations. He does an amazing job himself of keeping the ball in the yard among American League qualifying starters. Number 1 in terms of home runs per 9 rate. So as a result, did set the Astros minus 136 in this spot. And I did set my total at 6.6. So 6.5 or less, I think that you get down just a little bit too low there. We'll be looking at an over because you got to figure that one of these teams, they are probably going to save a few bullets in case if we do get a game 7, and then a 7 or higher, I would be taking a look at this total under, and that will wrap things up for the Friday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Steve Gardner of USA Today for joining me in the last segment. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of 2 ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and the other way, that's via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'm coming at you guys every single day on this podcast. That means I'm coming at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them?
Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.